Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, your host of the Best Ever You Show. Welcome to a special Sunday night edition of our show. We've got a really great guest with us. We've got Brendan Kennedy with us of National Scouting Report. Just want to thank you all for listening and being with us. And I know a lot of you will listen to this show on download and replay. It's free to share the show, listen to the show as much as you want. You can share it in Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram. You can go anywhere with the show and social media. And I also just want to mention, I know a lot of you tweet me while I'm doing the show. You can also tweet NSR Now, so at NSRNOW. If you have questions for us or anything like that, you can tweet us. You can also have a chat room going, or you can call us at 714-868-0220 and press 1. So here's the deal with tonight's show. There's a lot of athletes out there that might miss the chance to play a sport that they love in college because they didn't know what to do or quite what to do to get to that next level from high school. So with me is Brendan Kennedy tonight of National Scouting Report. You may also see the name NSR, like I was just saying, so that's National Scouting Report. That's a shortened, we just call him NSR. National Scouting Report is also on the web at nsr-inc.com, and they are the top high school scouting and college recruiting organization in the world. And so Brendan Kennedy joins me tonight. Brendan is the NSR Area Director for Massachusetts and Maine. He has over 35 years of experience in sports and is a former baseball player whose injuries ended his baseball career, but he is doing so many cool things to help kids in our area play college sports. And his daughter, you'll learn more about this, he can tell you, but his daughter plays lacrosse. She's a lacrosse superstar here in the Maine area at the University of New England. So hi, Brendan. How are you tonight? Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Doing well. Thank
Good.
You. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're used to speaking in front of big crowds, so here we go. I thought we'd just have a fun chat to help these athletes be their best, and you seem to be really quite skilled at helping people do that. So I'm so glad you're here. And before we get started, do you want to just tell me just a little bit more about you? Tell everybody listening more about you and who you are and why you do what you do.
Sure, absolutely. Pardon me. Well, my name is Brendan Kennedy. I'm the area scout, as you said, for National Scouting Report up in the northern New England area. I really got involved in this a few years back because of my daughter's experience. As you mentioned, she plays lacrosse for University of New England. And going through the recruiting experience with her was somewhat of a disaster for our family. And so I got involved in helping other families through the recruiting process because I just didn't feel like there was enough information out there for us. And I would have loved to have somebody help us through the process. And so I really got involved so I could help other families and them not have the same issues that my family had.
Yeah, are there any recent, I'm not sure if you're allowed to share this or not, but are there any recent, like, success stories? You know, maybe are you allowed to mention, you know, one or two kids on air or anything like that who've just signed with colleges or any? Or I see the Facebook feed. I wanted to mention you guys are also on Facebook, National Scouting Report. But so you guys do some amazing things for these kids, and they you just seem to really get behind them and propel them forward.
We have so many success stories in our organization throughout the country. To kind of, you know, just single one out would be very tough. But we have so many different ones from, you know, kids that were told that they'd never be able to play in college and then all of a sudden getting scholarship offers. Kids thinking that they had no, you know, chance of playing at a high level and getting scholarship offers. But people are more than welcome to go to any of our Facebook pages. We have a lot of them, certain ones for specific sports And you can find them at National Scouting Report and then type in the sport like lacrosse or softball or football. And what you'll see is a lot of our kids get mentioned in those posts, you know, where they sign, some of their abilities, some of the things that they do over the weekend or the course of the week. So we'd like to promote our kids that way also.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about what National Scouting Report is.
Sure. National Scouting Report is a scouting organization. We got started in 1980, so it's been almost 35 years now. We actually have been in helping kids in the recruiting process. It's based out of Alabaster, Alabama, and we have around 200 scouts across the country and worldwide. Obviously, the majority of our scouts are in the United States, but we do have some in other countries also. We help kids, you know, with the exposure process and through the recruiting process, and we've been doing it at a very high success rate, about 98% over the course of 34 years of getting kids offers to play in college.
That's amazing. And what sports? All sports or certain ones?
If a college offers it, we help a kid with it. So pretty much every sport.
Wow. Wow. And so, again, we said nsr-inc.com is that website, and then the Twitter is nsrnow, N-O-W, on Twitter. And then also, do you guys have a YouTube channel? I think you guys have a YouTube channel.
I do not. We may, but I do not know. We do have a new, yeah, we have a new person in charge of our of getting our information out, and she may have put one up. I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll look. I'll click on it while we're looking. So, any of you folks in our chat room, if you want to call us, you can call us and just press one. That way, it's helpful to me if you call in, if I know whether you're just listening or you want to ask a question. So we've got that chat room going. You can certainly type in your question there also if you're too shy or whatever, don't want to be live on the radio. I get it. And so type in whatever you want to ask, Brendan, and we'll ask away. Right, Brendan? It's an open phone call about to help your kids play sports in college. So let's talk about the process of evaluating a potential prospect. I mean, how does that work exactly? If your kid says, if your kiddo says, I want to play football in college or something, what's a parent supposed to do?
Sure, absolutely. Well, once we kind of identify that there's a potential prospect out there that wants to be evaluated, one of the first things that we do as scouts, since we live in our areas, is we want to watch them play live. So we try to get to one of their games. If we can't get to a game, a practice, some cases we even, you know, can just see them go through some drills. But we want to be able to see them play live to be able to assess their abilities. Once we do that and we assess their abilities and determine that they can play at some level in college, then the next step is that we set up an appointment with them and their parents to get to learn a little bit more about them, who they are, get a feel for what they're looking for in a college, as well as explain the recruiting process to them.
And what would happen if perhaps the child thought that they were at a level that they might be able to continue on in college, but you might not agree with that?
In that case, you kind of tell them some things that they can work on. You know, I never would ever tell a child that they can't play in college or have the ability, because anybody who puts in a ton of work could change where they are athletic-wise. But we kind of tell them some areas that they could improve on and what they need to work on in order to be able to play in college.
Yeah, that's one of my experiences with Best Ever You, is surrounding yourself with people who with love and support, and the people who help you accomplish your dreams. Would you go so far as to say NSR does those types of things for kids?
Yeah, one of the things that a lot of our guys in the field say when somebody says, well, what do? They say, we change lives. And we really do feel that way in our company. We do change lives. You know, when kids have a dream or a goal to play in college and and they get to realize that dream because of our help, it does change their lives.
Okay, and we're going to get to the myths and truths. That's the one thing we're going to do here tonight. We're really going to delve into six myths and six truths about college sports recruiting. But I want to ask you something, one more question before we get into that, and that's if someone does vocalize that, say, I want to be a NFL football star, let's say, or whatever they say, whatever mm-hmm. kids say, should your ears perk up when you hear that? Is there a reason? Does everybody say that, or do some people say that and they're capable of it? Like you were saying,
a lot of people say it, especially at a young age. People always seem to say, "Well, I want to be a professional athlete." You know, the biggest difference is when you see a kid who puts that time in. You know, a lot of people can say, "Well, this is what I want." But when you sit down and talk to them and you hear, you know, that they're putting hours in at the gym or that they're waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do extra work before they go to school, then go to school, do their homework, come home and put some extra time in. Those are the kids that, you know, are real dedicated and want this badly.
Yeah. So let's talk about those myths and truths. Which one do you want to go through first, the myths or the truths?
Myths are great. You know, there's a lot of them out there, so we can start with the myths.
Well, I'm sure you may have heard it all.
Yeah, there's so many myths out there. One of the first ones that I always like to talk about is the fact that there are so many kids out there who play sports, and they all think, well, I'm good enough, I'm going to be seen. And that's the most difficult thing nowadays is that, even no matter how good you are, if coaches don't know about you, you're not going to be found, sort of say. So you have to, you know, get yourself in front of these coaches. So it doesn't matter how good you are. If these coaches don't know about you, you're not going to be in the middle of the recruiting process.
Yeah, I think especially maybe from coming from a smaller state or like a cold weather state where somebody wants to play a warm weather sport, all sorts of those things must come into play with finding people. Do you think people miss out on the opportunity to perhaps play in college, thinking that if I'm good, I'm good, they'll see me?
Oh, absolutely. We get calls all the time from parents, from prospects, all over the place that sit there and say, you know, I thought that I was going to be recruited. My daughter, you know, in going back to her, we were that way where, you know, she was a first team all-state player in the state of Connecticut for lacrosse, first team all-conference, and she played on a very high-level travel team, and we thought that, all right, just from listening to other people, that eventually, you know, she's good enough, people will find her. And that's just not the case. And so there's so many good players out there, and the coaches who know about those players, those are the ones that they're looking at, that they miss some sometimes.
Yeah. And hearing you say that, I would have thought, oh, shoo-in for something, for sure, you know, because you're at such a high level of success there with all state and all conference or, you know, all the things that you just mentioned that she was, you would think it would just be a given. And so it's not?
No, it's not at all. As I mentioned, if the coaches don't know about you, then they can't recruit you, no matter how good you are.
Okay. So what about things like grades? Do those come into play at all with sports?
Absolutely. Grades are going to be extremely important when it comes to not only recruiting, but playing sports in college. As I said, there's so many kids out there that play college sports. If your grades aren't good enough, they're not going to waste their time, in essence, to recruit you when there's some other kid, you know, 100 miles away that is just as good, that has much better grades than you do. Also, these teams need to meet certain standards in college, so they want to make sure that the kids that they're getting are going to be able to pass their courses and, you know, they're not necessarily be ineligible to play because of their grades. So they want to make sure, again, that their high school grades are good enough to play in order to be in college. And there's actually just a recent rule change, too, that there is a GPA, mandatory GPA, that you need to get in order to play in college, which is above a 2.3.
Okay. So that's a myth, then, that when somebody says, oh, my grades don't matter. I'm a great player, but my grades don't matter.
Yeah, grades are very important. And, you know, when you look at the different levels, Division 1, 2, and 3 in sports, majority of your, and I'm getting ahead of myself in one of the myths here, about scholarships, but one of the myths is that you're going to get a full scholarship to play in a sport. And most sports actually are not full scholarship sports. There are only certain sports, really three sports, that are full scholarship, and that's men's football, and men's and women's basketball, and women's volleyball. And they're called headcount sports because everyone who participates gets a full scholarship. Majority of your money is actually going to come academically. So the better your grades are, the more academic money you can get. And especially in the Northeast, where some of these schools are well over $50,000 a year, that academic money is going to be extremely important.
Okay, so now, so one of the things I've always thought is, okay, so if you're playing in college, you've got a scholarship. So that's not necessarily true?
No. In fact, there's a lot of sports that don't have the scholarships even available, athletic scholarships available, just because the NCAA says, you know, that this sport has this number of scholarships. Let's take baseball, for example. In Division I, you have 11.7 scholarships for a Division I team. Well, if that team has 40 players on it, 11.7 scholarships, you know, if everyone were to get a scholarship, it'd be just over a quarter of a scholarship. Now, but some of those programs aren't fully funded, which means that they don't have all 11.7 of those scholarships. So they might only have 3.5 or 4 scholarships. In that case, they're not going to have that much money to give. So even in Division I case doesn't mean that you're going to get an athletic scholarship at all.
And does that lead back to why my grades might be so important? Because then you get maybe an academic one instead of a sports one.
Correct. The academic scholarship, and you can get some very good academic packages. Some programs, like some Division III schools, can even offer you almost a full scholarship academically.
Wow. All right. What are some of the other myths out there? And we've got a question, too, for you. So I see your question in the chat room, and I'll get to that in just a minute here. We'll maybe ask your question between the myths and the truths, if that's okay with you, and you can type in if that's okay with you or not. What are some of the other myths?
Another one is that, you know, a lot of people expect that their coach is going to get them seen by college coaches. You know, in most cases, you know, the average high school coach works almost 70 hours in a season. And, you know, they also have families, and they obviously have another job because high school coaches don't get paid enough to do that primarily. They don't have the time necessary to put in to get you recruited. Their job is to coach you on the field and make sure that your grades are good enough in order to get into college. Their job is not to get you recruited. And so to put that extra pressure on a coach, you know, isn't, you know, it's not what families should expect a coach to do that for them. You know, there are coaches out there that make a call here and there, but it's just too hard to sit there, and especially if you're talking about a coach, you know, a football team that has, you know, 40 to 50 players, even more in some states. That's an awful lot for a coach to have to worry about trying to get all of his kids recruited. So, you know, one of the things that I hear families say all the time, well, my coach says that they can do this or they can do that, and it's just putting a lot of pressure on them, and they just don't really have the time that needs to go into it. You know, our company does recruiting 24 hours, 7 days a week. I know how much time goes into the recruiting process, and high school coaches and even travel coaches don't have that time to be able to do that a lot.
What about the athletic director at high school? Is that part of their responsibility to form those relationships with the college coaches and things like that and help get kids recruited in the different sports, or is that not a responsibility of that position?
No, their job, athletic directors' jobs, are to get fields for the teams, to work on schedules, to make sure that the teams have all the necessary equipment and everything that they need, that they don't have anything really at all to do with the recruiting process. They can field calls, you know, and have athletes come in to make calls to coaches, but they themselves don't do that. And they don't usually know the athlete at that level to be able to do that either in that case.
All right. What about, like, height and weight and things like that? Does that come into play, like, your actual, the size of you? Like, does that matter?
Size does matter. You know, certain sports have what we like to call the box. You either fit in the box or you don't. You know, football, if you want to be a offensive lineman and you're 6 feet and 220 pounds, which is what a lot of linemen are up here in the state of Maine, you're not going to be able to play that position in college. You know, a typical tackle in college might be anywhere from 6'5 to 6'7 and around 300 pounds. So you either fit in the box or you don't in some cases. So when it comes to those sports, size does matter. You do have to fit into their box. And if you don't fit into their box, there's nothing that you can do about it. It's not, you can't stretch yourself out. You know, you either have the height or you don't.
Right.
So size does matter in a lot of sports, yes.
Okay. And what about what's another myth? What's the sixth myth of top myth?
Well, another one that parents always expect is that, well, I play on these tournament teams or travel teams, and I go to all these tournaments all over the place. And I spend all this money to travel all over the country, so my son or daughter gets, you know, exposure, which is great, but it's not really how that works. You can go to all these tournaments and spend all these thousands of dollars getting your kids at these tournaments, but when these coaches go to these tournaments, they already have the kids that they're identified, that they're talking to, on their list. So they go and they might have 10 to 15 kids written down on their list who they're going to see at this tournament. And if that tournament's a one-day tournament, they might only watch the kid for a couple innings, or, you know, if it's lacrosse or soccer, a half, and they don't have the time to sit there and look for that diamond in the rough, as we call it. So if you're not on their list when you're going to all these tournaments across the country, then the chances of you being seen are extremely low.
Yeah, that's interesting, because a lot of sports seem to have it. I was just talking to my husband about all the travel sports, you know, all the things that you can travel doing these days with kids. And he was saying, well, when I was a kid, there was none of this. Has sports changed like that for kids? Are there more opportunities?
Well, more opportunities... I don't know, because if you look at it, what really happens is, you know, there's a lot more teams, which means a lot more kids. And so that's just as many kids for these coaches to try to weed through to find the right ones. You know, unfortunately, what's happening now, a lot of it has to do with money, because all these teams that you're playing on can be anywhere from $1,000 to, I just heard somebody say that they were paying $7,500 to play on this team a year. And when you're talking about that, that's a lot of money. And so everyone sits there and sees that and says, well, I could start this team and I could make some money too. So you have so many teams out there, and the whole field is really getting watered down. And what ends up happening is then you have tournaments all over the country. Just last weekend in the Northeast alone, there was about seven lacrosse tournaments. And, you know, when there's only three college coaches for a school, how are they supposed to see all seven of those tournaments? And that's just in the Northeast.
Yeah.
So when you say opportunities, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take this question. We have a question asking you, In your opinion, what's the state of college sports? It's a broad question.
Yeah, I don't know really how to answer that, and without knowing exactly what they mean, the state of college sports, I'm imagining what they're talking about is the pay-to-play, probably. And it gets really dicey when you talk about pay-to-play, because you have people that believe, well, they are already getting paid to play because they're getting a scholarship. But when these schools are making, you know, millions of dollars off of these kids, then, you know, some people feel, well, they should get some of that. So I don't know if that's what they're talking about. It's a very touchy subject,
sure.
Especially when you talk, you know, to certain people, because are you talking all athletes then? Are you talking football players that put in, you know, long hours to play their sport? And have to go to school at the same time. In fact, all athletes put in a lot of time to play. So it is like almost having two full-time jobs in a sense. I don't know what the right answer is. You know, luckily I don't have to make that decision. But,
you don't have to answer it at all, really, if you don't want to. No, I'm just kidding.
But as far as that goes, yeah.
Yeah, the person in the chat room, if you want to type in more information or if we covered your question, feel free to let me know there. And then we also have a caller from the 340 area code. I'm not sure if this person is listening or wants to ask a question, but I'm going to unmute your microphone and ask. Caller from the 340 area code, did you want to ask a question or are you just listening?
I was just listening.
Okay,
I was the
awesome.
One that typed in the question.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, we'll mute you back out. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you with us. Hang on. All right. Let's go into the truths then. What are some of the truths of college sports recruiting?
Well, I did kind of cover them in the answers when I was speaking, but,
yeah.
You know, just to get back into some of those truths, you really have to be proactive in the recruiting aspect of it. You can't just sit back and hope to be seen. You know, one of the most important things is that these coaches need to know about you. And if you are just hoping that coaches will see you, then you're going to be, you know, in a very bad place when it comes later in the recruiting process. So, you know, that is something that's important to know, that it's just not, coaches just aren't going to sit there and break down your wall. Does everyone know somebody that does that? Yeah, there's always these kids out there that are being recruited by everyone. But the majority of those kids out there that want to play in college aren't going to have that type of recruiting experience. You know, in fact, less than 5% of college student athletes receive, you know, full athletic scholarship in the minor sports. You know, so, and the chances of playing overall in college is really under 7%. From high school athletes to college athletes. So you have to look at it as, what are you going to do to make sure that you're one of those 7%?
I saw a statistic somewhere, and I can't remember exactly where I saw it, so we may have to just say pass on this, but maybe you have it. What's the percentage of kids that, or what's the number that play in high school, play in college, play professionally? Like the percentages or whatever. Do you have that anywhere? So people understand.
Well, it's less than a 1% chance. You're more likely to get accepted to one of the Ivy League colleges than you are to play professional sports. It doesn't happen. And when you break it down for each sport, you know, it becomes less. Like football, there's a smaller chance than, you know, some other sports too. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's a very small percentage of kids that go from high school to college. As I said, it's just about 7% of high school athletes go to college. And then from there, how many go on to play professionally is a very small number.
Okay. So if you're on the field and your kiddo's about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 and you think you've got a MLB or an NFL player on your hands, the odds of that are... Would you just say like
slim? Very slim.
Slim. Yeah. Okay. So I.
Yeah,
think,
I don't have the exact numbers, and I don't want to say, you know, this is what the exact number is.
No, you don't have to.
And you don't know, you know, at that age, you never know what's going to happen with kids. You know, some kids are so much better than other kids at 5, 6, 7 years old, and then they just don't develop as fast as the kids that might not be as good at them at that age. And sometimes those kids catch up with their athletic ability. So you just don't know.
Yeah, and you had a graphic posted in your, I think it might have been in your Facebook, actually, and it was about just enjoying the time. Because you can't get that time back when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and being overly serious or yelling and things like that. I don't know that those types of behaviors do anybody any good, even if it continues on into the high school level. I mean, if you're a parent and you're yelling at the side on the sidelines at your kiddo, and there's a college coach there looking at somebody else or your own kiddo playing or whatever, are parents recruited in this process too somewhere along the lines?
Parents are just as much recruited as the child is. Parents can do just as much damage to their kids' chances of being recruited by yelling from the sidelines, yelling at refs, yelling at coaches, making a scene. Because, as I said, there's so many kids out there that play high school sports that a college coach doesn't want to have to take on that family of that one kid that's going to cause problems with their program, when they can just look down the street and see a kid just as good and, you know, have just as good of grades and recruit them instead. Recently, I was just speaking with a family that actually knew a high school or a college baseball player that got asked to leave the program because of their parents.
Oh, wow. That's a bummer, isn't it?
It is. And so, I mean, you know, I know it's being a father of an athlete myself, I understand how emotional it is. But you have to realize that it's your kid playing, not you. And you're there to support not only them, but the team, if it's a team sport. And so you have to do whatever you can just to make sure that you're there positively and not yelling at them. I know when I watch my daughter, I don't sit in the stands. I stand off to the side and just watch by myself. And I've never once yelled. I've never once said anything. I'll talk to my, you know, daughter after the game if she asks my opinion. If she doesn't, then I don't say anything to her.
Yeah, I'm a parent of 4 teenage boys, so I've been there for a really long time as well. So I get it completely. Let's talk about like what NCAA and NAIA are, because I know we have some young listeners with us who are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, 9th graders, and their parents are listening, and I know they're wondering what that means. You hear it, but you don't know what it means and how it pertains to you as an athlete if you want to play in college.
They're just two different college organizations. You know, a lot of times people they know who the NCAA is, but they don't know who the NAIA is. It's just another organization that monitors college athletics, and so they have some colleges that are underneath their jurisdiction. There are different sets of rules for each, but, you know, they just know that they are both college organizations that monitor college athletes and their universities.
And so that's a truth, that NCAA and NAIA, what do you have to do? What's the truth in concerning them?
Well, the only thing you have to do is when you, if you want to play either Division I or Division II in college, you have to be registered with the NCAA Eligibility Center, which is a center that clears you academically to be able to play in college. You can do that as early as your freshman year in high school, and you shouldn't really wait till after your junior year to register with them, because you can't go on official visits unless you're registered with the Eligibility Center. Some colleges won't even recruit you unless they know that you are registered with the Eligibility Center. The NAIA also has a different eligibility center, but you can wait a little bit longer to register with them if once you start realizing you might go to an NAIA school or be recruited by one of those schools, then you can register with them. They do both cost a small fee, under $70 for the NCAA and about $40 for the NAIA.
Okay. So the first truth we talked about, for anybody just joining us, I see we have a bunch of people who just joined us. So we're talking about the myths and truths of college sports recruiting, and we're speaking with Brendan Kennedy of National Scouting Report. You can visit their website at nsr-inc.com. They do have a Twitter, a Facebook, and a YouTube, so the links are all up there on the right-hand side. And you can click, yep. And so we talked about the myths. We're on the third truth. The first truth was coaches only offer kids that they have evaluated. I'm not sure we went into great detail about that, but so does that mean, like, you visit there or they visit you, or how does a coach evaluate you? Does that mean
they have to be able to they have to be able to see you play live? You know, if they don't see you either at one of their exposure camps or at a tournament, then they can't technically. I mean, they can offer you, but they wouldn't offer you unless they see you play somewhere.
And the second one was the NCAA and NAIA both require registration and approval through their eligibility centers. And do you know what? I'll post the links to both of those at the bottom of the show when we're done with the show. I don't have those websites offhand. But and then the third truth is about how many athletes really actually get a scholarship. Because I know I had thought. And have been thinking that, boy, if you play, you're on scholarship. I just kind of assumed it.
Right. And as I said, the chances of receiving, well, I mean, a full scholarship is less than 5%. So the majority of kids, and I don't have the exact numbers on me either of how many kids actually even get an athletic scholarship, but it's not a high percentage. Also, the University of Virginia men's lacrosse team, a couple years ago, their coach had said how their best three players combined get a full athletic scholarship. So you're talking about one of the premier programs in the country, that their top three players, which most likely are kids that could have gone anywhere they want in the country, together they get a full athletic scholarship. So they each get about a third of a scholarship, being as good as they are.
Okay. And we talked about fitting into their box and size mattering, you know, certain positions, certain colleges, everything is probably looking for a certain size person depending on the sport. We talked about that. And then I like the part about we were talking about the high school coach and the average high school coach working maybe 70-plus hours a week in a season and that not being the point person to get you recruited. Do you think some coaches – do go that extra step?
They
or
some
generally
coaches do, but the thing is, you know, in certain sports, I mean, again, I'll just take, you know, baseball, for example. There's almost 1,500 schools out there, colleges that offer baseball. You know, is that coach going to call 1,500 schools on your son's behalf? You know, if it's softball, you know, there's just under 1,500 softball schools too. You know, is that coach going to call those colleges on your daughter's behalf? You know, in most of these cases, a lot of these coaches have what I like to call feeder programs, where they pretty much know one or two coaches who, if they call and say, "Hey, I'd like you to look at this kid," they might be able to do that. But how do you know that that's the right school for your son or daughter? You know, my whole thing was I don't really care what school my daughter chose, as long as I knew deep down she chose the right one. Now, unfortunately, I'm not sure 100% that was the case because of our recruiting process, but I know my prospects at the end of everything that we do for them end up choosing what they feel like is the best school for them. So, you know, when a coach says, "Well, I'll take care of this for you," what does that mean, "I'll take care of it for you"? Does it mean that they'll reach out to five schools on your behalf? Does it mean that they'll reach out to two schools? Because that's really limiting what your son or daughter could be reaching out to. You know, sometimes you think, well, you know, I only want to stay in certain areas or I only want to play, you know, in the Northeast. Well, in the Northeast for softball, there's a couple hundred schools. So if your coach is still only reaching out to five, you're still missing out on, you know, a good 200 to 300 schools who might, one of those schools might have been a perfect fit for you.
Yeah, that's a really, really, really good point with that. That's a lot of phone calls somebody would have to make on your behalf for sure.
Yeah, and that's just talking about one kid. You know, not all,
yeah, exactly,
depending on the sport, anywhere from 10 to 40.
Yeah. Be like, hi, 1,500 schools, here's my team. I get it. Yeah. We have a question for you from Twitter, and the person wants to know, if you're in a state, are you most likely to be recruited within that state, or can you be recruited from a state, you know, a different school, or does generally the state that you're in is the state where you're going to play?
No, that's not necessarily true. You can be recruited by any state. We had a female volleyball player from California who actually plays at St. Joseph's up here in Maine. So talk about, you know, going,
yeah,
far away. I recently just had one of my kids from Maine who just signed with a Florida school. So it's just a matter of exposure. And normally what happens is, and what I say to a lot of my families that I meet with too, the reason why people think that they're just recruited by their state is because when you play locally, the only colleges that are going to really know about you are local schools. And in most cases, it's local Division III smaller schools. So if you want to be recruited from schools outside of your state, you need to make sure that those coaches outside of that state know who you are and that you play that sport.
Yeah. Let's go through some more of these questions here. Hang on, let me get back on track here a little bit and go back to some of these questions. Hang on. Can anybody play sports in college?
Well, that's kind of a trick question. it's very difficult to answer. I mean, you have to have the athletic ability to play in college. So no, not everyone can. But if you work hard enough at something and you want something bad enough, I've seen people that haven't had any athletic, you know, ability at some point who just work so hard because they want something that are able to attain it. So, you know, to be able to answer that question, it's really how bad do you want something? If you want it bad enough and you work hard enough at it, you give yourself a lot better chance than those that don't.
And how can somebody contact NSR for an evaluation?
The easiest way is to go to our website, as you said, www.nsr-inc.com. And there's a link that they can click on that asks for an evaluation. That gets sent to our home office, which has a Citizen Alabaster, Alabama, and then our people in the home office send those out to the people that are in those communities. I will say, though, if you do fill one of those out, make sure that your parents do know about it. Because a lot of times when we reach out to those kids, they just went in and filled it in and then weren't serious about it. And, you know, playing college sports is a serious thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I know we have a mix of kids listening and a mix of parents listening, so we're trying to kind of cover all the questions. We're going to go through some terminology, too, to make sure everybody's on the same page there. But one more question before we get into some of the terms, like what's D1, D2, D3, and those things. But what kind of mistakes do families often make in the recruiting process?
One of the biggest,
kids. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one of the biggest ones that I hear all the time and see all the time is they wait too long to get into the recruiting process. You know, they feel, well, I only have a freshman or I only have a sophomore, so I have time. You start to limit yourself when you wait too long. And, you know, fortunately, the world we live in now has kids who are in, you know, ninth grade or freshmen who are committing to these college programs. So for you to sit there and say, well, my child's only a freshman, you know, we're just starting to try to figure this out. I understand, you know, we're not asking kids to expect to know exactly where they want to go, but a lot of kids usually know at that age whether they want to play in college or not. And if they know they want to play in college, then what are you waiting for? Because all you can really do is hamper them more on their recruiting process than waiting. If you wait, all these kids that are in the recruiting process are jumping ahead of you. You know, there really is no such thing as getting too early into the process, but I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm too late.
Yeah. And so if you're a senior right now or a junior right now and your dreams are to play in college, and you haven't visited a college and you haven't, you know, if you haven't done some of the things, are the chances are that you won't, or do you still have a chance?
Well, depending on the division, you know, and the sport. You know, if you're a college, if you want to play softball and you're a division, and you want to play Division I and you're a senior and you haven't visited those schools, the chances of playing Division I are minuscule. You know, it's probably not going to happen at that point, because Division I programs usually are already done with their junior classes by this time. And if they're not done with them, they've usually at least identified their players who they are continuing to look at. So to come in new in this process and hope to get a Division I look, being a junior or senior, there's going to be very limited opportunities. You're much more likely to have opportunities Division II and Division III. But each day you wait, the more doors close, because those programs have already locked up their recruiting classes.
So what is the – you're mentioning things like D1, D2, and D3, and while that might seem like, yeah, I know what that is and everything, maybe a sixth grader or seventh grader listening has no clue what that is. Or maybe even somebody in high school doesn't quite know what that is, but they kind of have an inkling that they want to play. What is D1, D2, and D3?
Those are just the different divisions of sports, Division I, Division II, and Division III. The easiest way to just describe the differences is with Division I and Division II, they are able to offer athletic scholarships. Division III can only offer academic scholarships. I hear often people say, well, you know, Division III can't offer scholarships. That's not true. They can offer academic scholarships, and in some cases they can offer very good academic scholarships. You know, you're going to school to get a good education. As we mentioned before, the chances of playing a sport professionally are slim. So you're going to be there to get a good education. And some of the best schools out there are Division III as far as education. So when people sit there and say, well, I just want to play Division I because I can get an athletic scholarship, sometimes that doesn't make the most sense. Because let's say that school's $38,000 and you're going to get $5,000 to go to that school to play, you're still responsible for $33,000. Even if you get some athletic money, let's say you get $10,000, you know, you're still going to be responsible for $23,000. Well, maybe a D3 school down the road who is $38,000 is going to offer you $25,000 athletically. Well, to me, it doesn't make much sense. You know, am I going to go to school Division I to pay $23,000 a year, or go Division III and play and, you know, pay $13,000 a year?
Right.
So just to base it just on, well, I can get more money in Division I, that's not necessarily true. You know, what you want to look at is what's the best school for you academically, and then worry about athletics after that.
And is it can you play a sport and receive no money either way, academically or athletically, but still play on the team?
Good. That's going to be very, you know, usually you get some sort of academic money.
Okay. Can you explain what a baseball camp is?
Sure. And I'll actually even broaden that up and just say camps, because a lot of sports have different camps. All colleges nowadays offer their prospect camps. And it's a way for them to be able to see the athlete on their campus and be able to run them through the drills that they want to see them go through. However, what we always say is that there's two type of people that go to those. There's the prospect, who the coach is looking at to see if they have the ability to play at that school. And then there's a camper who's going there and just pretty much dropping off a check for that coach and that university to be there. So when you go to these camps, you want to make sure that you've had some sort of contact with these coaches, because, again, it's just like one of these showcases or tournaments that you go to. If the coach doesn't know about you before, the being seen aren't nearly as good.
Okay. And then can you explain, you just said showcase and tournament. What's a showcase and what's a tournament? I think we know what a tournament is, but for a sport, do all sports have showcases, and what is that?
Most sports have showcases, and showcases more on an individual basis, where you're going and showing your talents to college coaches in front of them. So, you know, depending on the sport and how big the showcase is gonna, and, you know, how long it is going to kind of determine the cost, in essence. But these showcases are where kids basically are paying a certain amount of money to go and get in front of college coaches on an individual basis. They don't usually go with their teams. They don't participate with their teams. You know, there could be games where you'd be mixed up with other players, depending on how the showcases run. But it's basically in a place where you go and show your individual talents to coaches. But again, it's the same situation. If that coach doesn't know about you beforehand, they're not there to find that diamond in the rough.
Got it. And how, so we've got just a few more. I don't want to keep you too much longer. And it's so clear you're such an expert on this. I hope people are really seeing the value of the show and seeing what experts, national scouting, it is. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much you guys help kids at National Scouting Report. It's pretty neat. All the, you look on your on the Facebooks for all the different sports, and you can just see how you do. You change lives. So, how can you tell? And this goes to some of the younger people that might be listening, and parents listening. How can you tell or start to tell if your child or you might be able to play a sport in college?
You have to have the athleticism to be able to play a sport. You know, usually you can tell whether a kid is more athletic on the field than their peers. But as I said before, and I've said, you know, a couple times throughout this conversation, really the way to tell that your kid wants to and can is by how much time they put into it. You know, there aren't too many kids that I know who end up playing in college that, you know, come home after school and just sit on the couch and watch TV. You know, most of these kids are going out there and putting in a lot of time into honing their skills. And so, you know, you do look for athleticism, you do look for speed, and you kind of compare them to where their peers are and what you know. But you also have to take that with a grain of salt, you know, because if you're the best player in Maine, and let's just take football, for example. If you're the best football player in Maine, where does that put you amongst the best football players in Florida and Texas and California? And just because you're the best here, you have to remember that there's probably a thousand other kids in a 100-mile radius that are just as good as you.
Yeah, that kind of goes with everything, doesn't it? But
yes.
Every kind of thing, every job, everything, it's a pretty big sea of people you get in, you know, the crowd in the sea is pretty big with people, and there's a lot of you and better than you and everything in the bigger picture, yeah, for sure. How can you tell if it's, like, this goes to parents listening, how can you tell if it's you as a parent wanting it so badly for your child because you didn't play or something, you know, but you know how people live, like, kind of vicariously through their kids? How can you spot that?
I don't think I ever had to tell my daughter to go outside and practice. she always would be asking me, can you come out and, you know, work with me? I think that's a big thing. If you're always having to tell your son or daughter, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, and you're the one pushing it all the time, then maybe it's not something that they want. So you should always kind of sit down and have a talk with them and say, is this something that you want? You know, because I don't want to push you to do something that it's not in your heart.
Yeah, I'm leaving it right there. It's so well said. I think we've got one last question, and then we'll open it back kind of up to you to see if we missed anything or you need to say anything more or cover anything more. But can you explain the process of when you can and can't talk to a coach, or when you can call, or when you can email, or what you can do?
Sure, I'll just kind of give you the umbrella coverage of that, because there is an NCAA rules book, and it's about 27 pages long, and so nobody wants to know all 27 pages of those. That's what myself and my company do. Because there are different rules for Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA. But basic rules to know And again, it fluctuates in each sport, too, for the most part. I mean, basketball and football have their own kind of set of rules. But just a general guideline is that as a freshman and sophomore, the only thing that you can receive from college coaches is camp material and questionnaires. Once you become a junior, college coaches can start to send you personalized emails and letters and texts and things like that. Or not text, I'm sorry, personalized letters, emails, and information from that way. Once you become a senior, then coaches can start to call you on the phone. And there's still limits on how many times they can call and when they can call. But so just a general guideline, though, is not until your junior year can they send you personalized emails and letters, and not till your senior year can they call you. However, you can call a college coach whenever you want. So as a freshman, you can call a college coach. But if they don't pick up and you leave them a message, they can't call you back.
Got it. Yeah, absolutely. And what about visiting?
Well, there's two different types of visits. There's an official visit and an unofficial visit. An official visit can be done your senior year, and it has to be arranged by a coach who wants you to come and visit their university or college and basically have the experience of a athlete at their school. That can only happen your senior year. Unofficial visits, you can take whenever you want. It just means that that's out of your pocket and you're doing all the arrangements for it.
Yeah. And did we miss anything? Are you thinking, okay, I got to cover that before we go, or I don't want to keep you too much longer?
No, I mean, I think we covered everything. I just think the biggest thing is just to have the right information. You know, most people out here, they want to do what's best for their son or daughter and put them in the best position to live their dream if that's what it is. And you want to make sure that you just have the right information and, you know, the right material to be able to give your kid that chance. You know, and make sure that, you know, whatever you decide to do, that you feel that you're doing it because it's going to give your son or daughter the best chance to be recruited.
Yeah. And if people want to get in touch with you or National Scouting Report, where should we point people? Just back to the website, or should we give out your personal email, or how's that work?
Yeah, they can go to the website, and even if they go on the website, there's a tab that says locations, and they can click on their state, and if there's a scout in their state, it will kind of pop up with their information. You know, if you click on Massachusetts or Maine, my information will pop up. But just because there isn't anybody on that site doesn't necessarily mean that nobody's in that area. So if there isn't anybody in that area, you can just go to the regular website and just fill in the evaluation, or, you know, there is a contact us, you know, section there. You know, I've had sometimes kids reach out to me from different states. You know, just last week I had a player reach out to me from Florida, and I directed them to the right person in Florida who to contact. So, you know, you can reach out to other scouts, and they'll point you in the right direction of who to contact. But they're always, feel free to contact me at any time. You know, I'm always available to answer any questions or concerns that people have.
Okay. So it's National Scouting Report. It's nsr-inc.com, and then on Twitter, nsrno. And then you're on Facebook and all that too. So I thank you for being with me here. What a very, very informative hour for people. I hope.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. One last thing actually I'd like to say that I forgot to say is that if you are ever contacted by somebody that wants to help you in the recruiting process, just ask them one question. Ask them to come watch you play. Because if they don't know how good you are, or they don't know your strengths and weaknesses, how are they to recommend you to a college coach? So, because I just know there's a lot of people always say, well, I got contacted by this person or that person, what should I do? You know, do whatever you feel is necessary, but just ask them to come watch you play.
Really good, really, really good point. All right, thank you, and I'll let you go here so we're respectful of your time because it's a full hour, and I sure hope everybody enjoyed this. I know there's a lot of people listening live. I thank you for being in the chat room as well. And please feel free to contact National Scouting Report. I call you NSR, at nsr-inc.com. And thank you to everyone who replays and shares the show on social media with your friends, family, and, of course, your athletes. All right, take care and have a great night, everybody. Thank you again, Brendan.
All right, thanks for having me on, Elizabeth. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.